The Lord spoke to me this morning and said, you're not going to teach your whole message today. You're going to do half of it. And I'm like, are you sure? It kept feeling like when I'd look at the first section, it felt right. And when I look at the second section, even though I really liked it and it's very enlightening, God would say, you're not going to go there. And so sure enough, I'm going to do half my message. You know, I told you last week that a major pastor of a big mega church out of town said that people can only handle a 20-minute message nowadays. And I said, that's sad. You know, we can go 3 hours for a football game, 2 hours to a movie, an hour for a TV show, but only 20 minutes for a sermon. But you know what? God's already spoken this morning. And see, he can speak. We can let him speak in a multiplicity of ways. And it doesn't have to just be a sermon. What I'm going to talk about is God speaking to us. I'm going to talk about the voice of the Lord. And so he still speaks today, but he speaks in many ways. And so this morning he spoke through members of our congregation as they came up. And I encourage you, he spoke through the songs. When Julia began to sing, Swing Wide, You Heavenly Gate, he spoke to you individually things that maybe I didn't even hear with my ear because he was just saying it to you. And so last week we talked about sound. And how God wants us to make a sound. And the sound of revival can come out of us. And then that transforms things and people all around us. We talked about words and how our words affect others. And they can defile others. They can even defile us if we're saying the wrong thing all the time. But Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good it is. We talked about taming the tongue, how a little member, a little thing can make a big difference or even create destruction in a big way if we're not careful. In John 12:49, Jesus says, I only say what I hear my Father say. See, many times you may not know it, but when they're leading worship, they'll just hear a thing from the Lord and start to sing what they hear the Father say. When the people come up, there's many things that can be said, but they feel like they've specifically heard God say that, and he wants it said to others. Now, there's times that when he speaks to us, then there's times he speaks through us, and we need to know the difference. But he says, I only say what I hear my Father say. Another translation says, I only say what my Father says, and I say it how he tells me to say it. That goes to a whole nother level. I say it how he tells me to say it. See, I can shout a thing, I can whisper a thing, I can say it with much softness, or I can say it with proclamation. So sometimes we even have to say it how he says to say it. Jesus heard from the Father. But you know what? So should we. So should we. We've got to hear from the Father. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. It says in John 18:37, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. He created the world with his voice. The NIV, if you can put them up there, fine. If not, I can read through them. I usually don't use the NIV, but this morning I've got four scriptures from there. Psalms 29, 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. NIV, Revelation 3:20. Here I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11:33, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. His voice. The night that I met my husband, Easy, if you're visiting, he passed away in May. He was giving his testimony at a large meeting. My parents were hosting it, and my mother had Bible studies during the day for women, but every once in a while, every so many months, they'd have a big meeting at night, and they'd invite a guest speaker to come, hoping that their husbands would get saved. And Easy had recently been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He was had lived a very successful worldly life and had owned many businesses, built apartment projects, owned sports teams. So a lot of men came just to hear him talk. But they weren't prepared for the things he was going to say. And he began to tell them about the impact that Jesus had made in his life. And so that night, he began to tell people how God spoke to him. And that he went to a meeting a year before where a man had actually said God spoke to him. And God told this man, you know, he was driving his car. He said, when you get to a certain street, take a right and then go down that street about so many blocks. And you're going to find a man there. And he had a heart attack. And you're going to pray for him. And he's going to be healed. And Easy said when he heard that testimony, he was just amazed that God would talk to people like that. And so the man told how he did exactly what God had said. He got to that spot. There was a man that people had gathered around. He was having a heart attack. The man prayed, and the man who was driving prayed, and the man who had the heart attack got well. So if we do what God says, we get God's results. And so then Easy began to tell how later God talked to him. You know, faith comes by hearing. See, if we hear that God does it for one person, she just like you said, testimony, do it again. Well, if God does it for you, he can do it for me. And if God does it for him, then you know what? I can grab hold of that too. And so Easy got born again, got filled with the Spirit. And one night he was driving to a meeting where he was volunteering and he was answering the phone for a Christian ministry. And, you know, people would call in for prayer and you'd go, can I pray for you? And he was one of those volunteers. And on the way, he said that he heard an audible voice that said, when you get there, turn to Matthew 10:1. And he was so startled that he ran his hand back in the back seat to see, is somebody there? And he was fiddling with the knobs on the radio going, is this on? And he heard the voice so clearly. And when he got there, he opened the Bible, and it said that we have been given power, that Jesus gave his disciples power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Later that same month, he was at another meeting. A man who was prophetic came up and gave him a prophetic word, and he said, you will be going around the world laying hands on people, and they'll be healed in the name of Jesus. So God confirmed the word that he had already heard with his ears. Easy and I didn't know one another at that time, but I was listening to his testimony that night. But some months previously, I had been a new Christian on my bed in my home, giving God sort of a laundry list of things that were going on in my life. And I'd never heard God speak. You know, I was a little Catholic girl growing up. I just knew God was way out there and I'm here. Would he really talk to me? Like, how could I hear his voice? And I'm sitting on my bed, just sort of talking to God, my prayers. And this thought comes across my mind so strong. It wasn't a thought I put there. I didn't think it up. But it says, I am all that you need. And I was so startled because that wasn't my thought. It wasn't an audible voice. But God's reassuring voice came to me in my thoughts to tell me all those things I felt I had need of, he was going to take care of. I am all that you need. Now, I'm going to fast forward 15 years. I've known the Lord that much time. And I was in my house. Easy and I were married. We'd been married a good long time. We'd put our house up for sale. God had already told us we were supposed to sell our house, and he was going to start using us in ministry more than he had before. He had a Christian men's meeting. I taught a lot of Bible studies and conferences and retreats. But he said, I have something new for you. You're going to sell your house. And so we were going to enter this walk by faith. We put our house up for sale. We put it up for a certain price, and it just sat on the market. And it just sat there, and people would make inquiries, but nobody made an offer. Nobody seemed to want to buy our house, and I was getting impatient. And so I was in my living room, and Easy was out on the patio beyond the sliding glass doors, and I had this thought. See, we can have a thought, or God can give us a thought. And I had this thought, we need to lower the price of the house. I need to go out there and tell Easy we need to lower the price of the house. We are never going to sell this house if we don't lower the price of the house. And I had that thought, and I started to walk out there, and the thought, like I had on my bed, that said, I am all that you need, came just as strongly, but this time it said, don't go out there. Don't go out there. I'm like, what? Don't go out there. And I'm like, oh, but I want to tell him. And and we've been waiting a long time, and the don't go out there wouldn't go away. And I'm like, and I had this knowing that it was because I wasn't supposed to tell him about the price thing. And I thought, okay. So I tried to bargain with God, and I go, I'll go out there, but I just won't say anything. Okay, I'll go out there, but I just won't say anything. And I grappled with that for a few minutes, and finally somehow I convinced myself that I would have that much self-control. I could go out there, but I wouldn't say anything. And so I just walked out there, and I just sat on the edge of his chair, and I didn't talk for a minute. And but, you know, the word had said, don't go out there. It didn't say, go on out there and keep your mouth. It just said, don't go out there. I went out there. It wasn't 3 minutes before I started saying, you know, honey, what do you think about the price? What do you think? Do you think it's too high? Do you think we got to? I'm thinking maybe we got to lower it by $15,000. It just came out. Sometimes Even the things God tells us not to say, we say. Have you ever done that? Nobody in the room, huh? And well, what I didn't know was that that very day, somebody had talked to a realtor about making an offer, and they were going to make an offer for the full price that we had. But because Easy went ahead and changed it that night, because he's a broker, he put it on the MLS thing, and by the next morning, since the price was changed, they got it for $15,000 less. That was 1991, and in today's money, that's $36,000. And God tried to save me $36,000 by just saying, don't go out there. So sometimes we don't even know why God is saying a thing. But see, when I was a young little Christian, ooh, I was just so in tune with what he said. But sometimes we get older and we get complacent and we try to bargain with God and we try to think, oh, we can do it our way. But God still speaks to us today. He still speaks to us to bring us comfort. He still speaks to us to bring us direction. He still speaks to us to try to save us money so that we don't lose our money by doing stupid things. And so if someone told me, you know, the Lord told me, it can be really good. The Lord told me, and then they obeyed. But then there are some people who go, the Lord told me, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's like a deterrent to give him any kind of advice. If the Lord told you something, how can I argue with the Lord? Like, am I going to be on the other side? And so new Christians will come to me as a pastor and go, the Lord told me, and they'll say the most outlandish thing. And you're like, wait, that doesn't even sound right. But the Lord told me. And so we've got to be very reverent and very diligent. When we say the Lord told me, that we really discern that it's his voice and not our own thoughts. And not our own thoughts. Our own thoughts can even argue with the Lord. And, you know, I know people are in various perspectives in this room, that some of you have heard the voice of the Lord a lot. Some of you God has used a lot in the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you are trying to get in tune with him enough to hear his voice. And you're trying to decide, is that really God? And see, a good way to know that is even during worship. You know, when people start singing a thing and we'll sort of hesitate and wait and mull over and stay on something when we feel God is on it. And so God, during those times, might be speaking to you, and you can take that as confirmation that, yes, God's in the room, and he's speaking. You might be thinking a thought, and then somebody walks up and takes the mic and says that very thing that you needed to hear. And so you can go, okay, this is how God speaks, and you start to get more familiar with his voice, like a baby does with their mother or their father's voice. And so some people can't imagine ever hearing from God for themselves. They think, who, me? You know, Jen, that gives many prophetic words and many words of wisdom and words of knowledge to our visitors, there was a time when she thought she could never hear from God, never. And we were in a prayer meeting, and she was standing next to me, and I felt like she had a word from God. And I said, you've got a word. She goes, I don't. I go, yes, you do. I know you do. And she goes, it's just one word. I go, say the one word. She said one word, and a person over on the other side of the circle had the rest of the prophetic word that went with that one word. And so sometimes we just start with what we have. And sometimes one word is all we need. And so there's 10 ways that God speaks to his people. 10 ways. I'm going to just go by this little list. I can give you a copy of this if you want it. But number one, and the first and foremost, is his word. His word. So we have to be in his word. This is the rule, not the exception. He says, Psalm 119, 105, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word, as you read your Bible daily, things will jump out at you. Things will sort of make an impact on you. That is him speaking to you. And so daily reading is essential to be able to hear from God. Number two, like I told you that Easy had an audible voice. This is the exception, not the rule. This is going to be rare, but it can happen. And the devil can also speak, so you have to know the word enough to know what's God and what's not God. Number three, some people have angelic visitations. It was prophesied that I would have angelic visitations. I have not had one yet. Maybe you're in this room and you have. My spiritual mother used to have angelic visitations. And so there are times when the supernatural becomes the natural for you because it's the way that God works in your life. Dreams and visions. We have people in the room that God gives them dreams, and they're symbolic, and the dreams usually mean something. And so some of them have even gone to the trouble of learning how God, like, God will speak to you in the language that makes sense to you. Now, there are some things in dreams symbolically that always mean a certain thing, and there are people that can help you to interpret how God is speaking to you in your dreams. But sometimes you just have to get used to how God talks to you. how God talks to you. You know, like with a baby, they know their mother's voice. We will get to know our father's voice. And so visions also are another way that God will speak to us. People can have open visions. Sometimes they'll just get a picture in their mind. When Easy used to call out people for healing, God would just give him a picture of somebody in his mind. It wasn't like a movie screen. It was just in his thought life, he'd see something, just like you can imagine something. And one time he said, there's going to be a lady at the meeting we're going to tonight. She's going to have on a red dress, and she's going to be in the third row, and she's been having trouble sleeping lately, and she has a such and such condition. And sure enough, we got there, and there was a lady, red dress, third row. He pointed her out exactly what he said was what was going on, and she got healed because she realized God had her number. He read her mail, and faith grew in the room. And so dreams and visions, spirit to spirit. This happens a lot for me. Our spirit will bear witness and confirm the word that's going on. In other words, somebody will say a thing, and I'll just feel there's something on it. You just feel like, oosh, there's something. Ooh, that resonates with me. That bears witness with me. That feels right. And so when we talk, sometimes I'll go, ooh, I feel that. I don't mean with my emotions, but I mean with my spirit. And so your spirit can feel that there's something of God on that thing, spirit to spirit. Number six, the prophets. We have prophetic people in. We have prophetic people in the house, sometimes as guest speakers. And so the prophets whose words are confirmed. Now, it doesn't mean that everything a prophet tells you, you have to go out and act on. You shouldn't act on it. Actually, you should let it be confirmed. It can be a confirming word. It can be a now word. It can be a future word. There are words that Easy and I got that didn't happen for 20 years. We'd have been fools if we'd have tried to make them happen prematurely. But the prophets. Number seven, godly counsel. Godly counsel. God created us for relationships, so the input of other Christians is essential. But there is a world of difference between counsel and godly counsel. Counsel and godly counsel. And so a lot of people have opinions. A lot of people will tell you what to do, but it doesn't mean they're hearing from God. And so you need to go to people who value hearing from God themselves so that they can hear from God for you. The gifts of the Spirit. They're all listed in 1 Corinthians 12. We can hear from God through supernatural occurrences that appear natural, such as a word of wisdom. You've seen Jen do that. You've seen Cammie do that. You've seen Janine do that. Different people have done that during our service. Number nine, circumstances. Circumstances. Now, we're not to be led by our circumstances. Our circumstances can be bad, and it can be a door open, and we'll go, well, I guess I got to walk through that. No. Not if God says don't walk through that. And so good and bad situations can speak to us. So we need confirmation from one of the other things here. See, you don't just do one of these things. Two out of three is nice. Three out of four is better. And so you want God to confirm things before you make a move and act on these things. And number 10, God will even place desires in your heart. He'll give you the desires in your heart and then bring something of that nature along, and you can go, wow, God heard me, he heard the cry of my heart, and now he's doing this thing so that he can answer my prayer. Now, there's 10 ways, and there's more, that God can speak to us, but there's six reasons I'm going to give you why Christians sometimes don't hear when God is trying to speak. Number one, preconceived ideas of how they think he will speak. Somebody who was a leader in this church one time came and they go, you know, this is really important to me and I want a prophetic word. And I started counseling them and I told them what I felt the Lord was saying. And they kept waiting for a prophetic word. And then I told them again what I thought they needed to hear. And then they go, but I'm waiting for a prophetic word. And finally I go, will you quit demeaning my gift of counsel because you were so big about waiting for a prophetic word? So God was trying to speak to him through godly counsel, but they'd already decided they needed a prophetic word. You don't always need a prophetic word. You need to be willing to listen to God however he decides to come. Number two, not listening. Being so preoccupied with our own thoughts and our own thing and having our minds so cluttered and filling it with so much stuff that we can't even really hear God. Because we are busy, busy, busy on the inside. One time I got that word, busy, 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 and it was not a compliment. And so, and God told me to be a whole lot like more like Mary instead of like Martha, which is my tendency. And so not listening. Maybe God is speaking and we're just not giving him time to speak. Maybe we're just not ever sitting quietly at his feet, so we can't hear what he's saying. Number three, not being submitted to God, so that if he even told you something, you wouldn't do it. Because you've got a will of your own, and you've made up your mind the way you want it to be. And so if he told you that, you don't want to hear it, because you want to do this. And so not being submitted to God. Number four, maybe it's just not God's timing for the answer. And so it's in the waiting. And you've got to take courage, my soul, and just wait and be still and know that he's God in the meantime, and he will get to you. Maybe he's working out some situation, but the answer is on its way. Number five, if there is sin in your life, it makes it very difficult to hear from God. Number six, unbelief. You cannot believe he'd ever speak to you. Unbelief. But see, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I already read all the scriptures to you about hearing his voice. So if you think, I can't hear his voice, you're in opposition right that minute with that statement to the very word of God. So don't say, I can't hear from God. Say, I'm trying to hear from God. I'm getting ready to hear from God. God's getting ready to speak to me. My ears are going to be open to everything he has to say. When he speaks, I'll listen. When he speaks, I'll obey. Number seven, mistaking your own predetermined will and the loud voice in your own soul for the voice of the Lord. So I'm gonna tell you a story, and then we'll end up. That's half the teaching. Years and years ago, Kirk might remember this, it's in the 90s, we had a little tiny office. It was about 9 by 9, 10 by 10. And it was in the front part of the church, and then the church was the rest of it. And Kirk had a best friend. His name was Matt, and Kirk and Matt did everything together, and that's, you know, and Angie was there too, that Kirk and Angie were dating, but Kirk and Matt were always hanging out together. And so on this one particular day, I was in the office working, and I see, because there was glass windows, and I could see on the sidewalk Kirk walking up, and about 4 feet behind him was Matt, and that was not normal, because Matt was very zealous, and he was like a leadership type guy, but Matt just looked downtrodden, and Kirk was leading the way, and they walked in the office, and Matt stood back, and Kirk came up to me, and I said, what's wrong? And he goes, Matt needs to talk to you. And I'm like, well, he could talk to me. What's wrong? He doesn't have a way to get to work. I go, what do you mean he doesn't have a way to get to work? Because Matt had a car. He had transportation. He was like 19 years old. And he goes, he needs to talk to you. And I go, well, come on. And so Matt comes up, and he's hanging his head down, and he goes, I don't have a car anymore. My dad took my car away. He goes, and now I can't even get to work, and I don't even know what to do next. And so I go, let's go talk to Easy. Now, remember, we had, what did we have, 1,000 square feet? Did we have like 1,000 square feet over there? And it was just a small place. So Easy had no office. And so he would go office at Barnes & Noble. And he'd sit in one of the chairs and do his sermons there, because he preached every Sunday and I taught every Wednesday night. And so Easy is over at Barnes & Noble. So I walk into Barnes & Noble, and then there's Kirk trailing behind me, and then there's Matt trailing behind Kirk. And we're walking all over Barnes & Noble, big bookstore, and we're going to find Easy. And there he is sitting in one of the big chairs. So we walk up, and I go, honey, the boys need to talk to you. And he goes, what's wrong? And he looks up from his book, and he goes, what's wrong? I go, they need to talk to you. Matt has a problem. And so Matt walks up, and he goes, I don't have a way to get to work, Easy. And he goes, well, why not, son? And he goes, well, my dad took my car away. And he goes, well, why did he take your car away? Now, you need to know that Matt and Kirk had decided at that point that school was not godly. Now, they were at a Christian university. But they had decided that the Christian university was feeding their minds with things that were not pure as far as the word of God was concerned, and that this was not in their best interest to continue their education. And so, you know, I was trying to go, well, you know, you can, you know, swallow the fish and spit out the bones. But no, they wanted not to be in school. And so Easy goes, well, Matt, why did your dad take your car away? Well, because I quit school. And Easy goes, well, why did you quit school? Because God told me to. And Easy goes, well, son, if God told you to, you don't have a thing to worry about. And he went back and looked at his Bible and didn't give him another look. And so, you know what? If you're going to say God told you to do it, if you're going to say God spoke to you, you need to have no preconceived will of your own. You need to get confirmation. You need to maybe sometimes get godly counsel. You need to let him say it more than one time if it's going to have some kind of dire consequences in your life. But we all want God to speak to us, but sometimes we're hearing the loud voice of our own thoughts more than we can hear from God. So, Father, I just thank you for the people in this room. We really do want to hear from you, God. We want to put down all of our ways, our thoughts, our habits, our preconceived notions, God. We want to hear from you. We want you to lead us. We want you to guide us. We want you to tell us which way to go. We don't want to be going our own way and asking you to come with us. And so, Father, I thank you that every single person under the sound of my voice can hear from you. So, Father, I thank you to make us more and more sensitive, to get us more and more in tune with your voice. And when you speak, God, we will listen and we will obey. If you believe that and agree with that, say amen. Amen.